greatest poets, novelists, and playwrights have been in love with Ruth. Milton saw her as a paragon of the virtuous young lady. Bunyan, in his Journey imagery, saw her as a model companion of mercy. Goethe said she had the most beautiful story in the Old Testament. And Keats said, quote, she was like a nightingale singing in her homesickness as she stood in tears in the alien cornfield, end quote. But I saw Cinderella last night, and I think she's the Cinderella story of the Old Testament. It is a beautiful story. It's not a poem, but it is so poetic that you can see how well-crafted it was. And I always remember my Old Testament teacher. He spent years working on a commentary on the book of Ruth. And the end of the passage today was something that he could not read out loud because it was just so emotionally overwhelming for him. And I've come to understand why. It is such a beautiful, beautiful piece. Listen for the word of the Lord as it comes to us from Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out to the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them. They wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." And they wept aloud again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Such a beautiful story. There's a couple things that are helpful to know in Ruth. First of all, a little bit of background. This is in the time of the judges, and in the time of the judges, they were trying to do without politicians. Only God was their king. And what that meant is that they bounced from one crisis to another to another. The name of the father of this tribe, Elimelech, means God alone is my king. That's one piece of background there. Another piece is that they were still in the beliefs that had been handed down to them from the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. You remember Ezra and Nehemiah were out, they were the ones who built the wall to protect the city, to keep the outsiders out. They were all about building a wall. This is not a political statement. It's in the Bible, okay? But what happens is that was the old story, and around the 5th century, Ruth comes along and gives them the possibility of a new story. It's a gentle story, but it is a quiet polemic against Ezra and Nehemiah to help them enter into a new day. It begins with a danger. It's not a danger from invaders. It's a danger of famine. Remember, the judges' time, they bounce from crisis to crisis. The current crisis is a famine. It's ironic because this group of people that we're hearing about, the family of Elimelech, come from Bethlehem, and Bethlehem means house of bread, the house of fullness. That's what it means. But now in the house of fullness, there is a famine. So the family of Elimelech becomes sojourners, wanderers, aliens. And where do they go? They go to a land where they do not have citizenship. It is in the land of Moab. And did you hear it in that story? It kept repeating, Moab, Moab, Moab. This is definitely in Moab. Remember how they're in Moab before they... Why are they saying that? Because the Moabites were their enemies. These were the people who were their perennial adversaries. And they even have stories about it that say that the people of Moab, you know those people of Moab, they were started by an act of incest. And so right there in the Bible, these are defective people, suspect. That's what they say, but now all of a sudden they're hungry. And when you're hungry, you go where there's food, even if the food is in the land of your enemy. So they travel to the land of these people. And the only thing that they would really hope for is to make sure that they tried to stay as separate as possible from these unclean people. And especially, you don't want any mixing in terms of marriage. We know our history in Nebraska, and you can imagine their fear, right? What if one of our Nebraska quarterbacks had wanted to date the head cheerleader from Oklahoma? Or Texas, or Iowa. Fear of the enemy. Fear of the other. Intermarriage. It was this great danger. That's what they believed. But then the paterfamilias dies and leaves behind a wife, Naomi. Naomi, by the way, her name means sweetness. Because her life had been so sweet. She'd been raised in the house of bread. She had this husband. She had two sons. She was going to be well taken care of, or at least that's how she thought the story of her life was going to go. Sweetness. Her life was sweet, but her husband dies. And so she's left with her two sons living in a foreign land. And while they're living there in Moab, there are all these Moabite cheerleaders, and her sons fall in love, and they marry. Her sons' names, Malan and Chilion, kind of classic names, aren't they? Can't you just hear mother crying, calling out the back door at supper time, Malan, Chilion, time for supper. But then you come to understand the word Malan means sickness, and Chilion means destruction. Sickness, destruction, time for dinner. That's what's going on in this story. And the problem is, pretty soon these two sons live into their names. And sickness and destruction, Malan and Chilion. they die. And so now Naomi is left in a foreign land with two foreign daughters-in-law. Naomi hears through the grapevine that God has smiled on Bethlehem. The famine has ended there, and she wants to go home to her tribe. She begins to go back home. But there's something you need to know also in the book of Ruth. In this marvelous, gentle book, there are no bad people. There are only good people and people who are even better. And so one daughter-in-law starts to say, "No, I'll stay," but then she turns and goes. Her name is Orpah, which in one family here in America was read over real quickly, and they thought instead of Orpah, it was Oprah. That's where that comes from, okay? Orpah goes, she turns her back and goes, and Orpah means back of the neck, because that's the last they see of Orpah as she goes home. A good woman who had been faithful. But Ruth is the one who stays behind. Now, both of them had showed a value. It's just that Ruth showed this value even more. It's an Old Testament term called chesed. I want you to say that with me, if you would, just briefly. Chesed. 1, 2, 3. Chesed. Okay, yes, very good. Your Hebrew's coming along. It's a word that we can't translate with one word in English. It means faithful, loving kindness. Faithful, loving kindness. This is the character of God. And her daughters-in-law had shown her chesed, how to be in the presence of God. But now she turns and says to them, to the daughters-in-law, now you go. Go live your life. Have a good life. You've been good to me. Have a good life. Because I'm a woman. I'm an old woman. I can't own property. I can't hold a job. I can't be independent because I am completely dependent on men. And now I'm going to change my name from sweetness, from Naomi. I'm going to change it to Mara, which means bitterness, because I'm bitter. I've lost it all, and I'm a woman. I have no income. I have no social security. And soon I will be a burden to you two daughters-in-law, a burden that you do not deserve to bear. That's the life of an older woman. And my life will be hard and lonely and insulting and probably short. And Naomi goes, a good woman who had been faithful, but she follows the word of her mother-in-law. But Ruth stays. She clings to Naomi's neck, and she won't let go. She stays full well knowing that she is going to probably condemn herself to a life of poverty as she sticks with this older woman, a bitter life. But Ruth, in the face of all of that, says one of the most beautiful speeches ever written, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, where you lay your head, I will lay my head. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. And wherever you die, you won't die abandoned. You won't die alone. I'll be right there alongside of you. And I'll be buried next to you. And only death will part the two of us." Now you can read this speech a couple ways. You can read it as an incredibly tender speech, or you can read this as the speech of a defiant, strong woman. Either way is possible to read it with authenticity to the text. But the core point is, she's showing loyalty. This is the character of God, that God shows this loyalty, this faithful, loving kindness. And it should be God's people who are embodying this. But it's the outsider. It's the enemy who's showing them the face of God. It's the epitome of things crucial for life. I want to talk about loyalty. There's so much to talk about from this passage, but that one phrase alone is just so powerful, and I think that's at the core of Ruth's story. Josiah Royce, a theologian from a long time ago, writes profoundly, I think, about loyalty. He says, loyalty is at the heart of the ethical life. It's what brings the public and the private life together. The moral life has to have limitations. You can't have it all. You can't do it all. You can't be it all. You have to choose limitations in your life. And when you choose that which you're going to be loyal to, you define yourself. So the real question is, to what or to whom are you going to be loyal? For some folks, they're going to see the good person as somebody who follows all the rules, other people who follow the highest ideals. But Roy says, no, it's your loyalty that helps define everything else in your life. So be loyal to that which is loyal to you, which is not going to disappoint you. And the only one that's going to disappoint you is God. The ultimate loyalty is from God, so ultimately only be loyal to God. And from that, everything else begins to make sense. You know how to relate to everything and everyone else because of that central loyalty that defines your life. You can only do that through grace, but it is grace, the grace of God, that helps us to focus in that way. It's a social connection, though, also, isn't it? Because when you are loyal to God, you're looking for other people that are loyal to God, and so you connect with other people that are loyal to God, and you come to discern what God is saying and doing because you talk with one another. When you talk with one another, you discover, you debate, and you decide together, and that intensifies and helps you to live out more fully the loyalty. That passage in Ruth, your God shall be my God, your God, my God. It's a conversion image of discovering anew the power of God. And I wonder about this. This story starts with this tragic situation of a famine. It comes to Naomi, to sweetness, this woman who thought her life was all lined out, but everything fell apart. And after everything fell apart, she became bitter for a while. And it was Ruth, the daughter of the enemy tribe, who helped her regain her sense of hope, to become sweetness again, because Ruth is loyal to her. Then she turns around and is loyal to Ruth, and Naomi is relentless until Ruth has a new husband, and she makes Ruth's life sweetness. She has to scheme and plot and plan to do it, but she gets the job done. It is amazing to think about the power of loyalty to change our lives. One last thing about Ruth, the word Ruth, we didn't ever get to her name. Her name means friend. The loyal one in the Bible is friend. What is it that Jesus says to his disciples? I have called you friends. I think that's a good thing for us to meditate on and think about in the church, is just how much it matters that we're loyal to one another in challenging times, how we care for one another, look out for one another, lift one another up. I used to think that love made loyalty possible, but Ruth makes me wonder if maybe it's loyalty that makes love possible. And maybe it's loyalty that makes love possible in the times of hardship. May we think about the friendships that we have been blessed with in this congregation. May we take the time to reach out to one another and show those acts of loyalty that help people to know that we're there for one another, that we care about one another, that we've seen and noticed what's going on in one another's lives, that we love one another. May our loyalty help us to experience more deeply and profoundly the love of God that presence that surrounds us, that presence that will be loyal to us now and always. Amen.
Open your mouth and praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, the Lord is good.
Clap your hands, oh, clap your hands.